Page 422, 423. In the Hebrew, it is, I think...
We are on the... Now, I thought it was...
No, we're chapter 6 of the Geras HaKodesh, yeah. Page 422, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 lines down, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down, we can't call Shinoi, and in the English, it's now, this is in the radiation reflection, which is an extension of invocation from His blessed name to animate and upper and lower beings. There's a distinction and difference with respect to the upper and lower beings. Okay? We're talking about, this is a tzedakah letter. Yes, please. This is a tzedakah letter. And here he's saying that if you give tzedakah, you will reap emes. And emes is the expression of rachmanis. And you should have rachmanis on your own soul and the nitzitz elokus, which is connected, which is in your soul first. Okay? And he said that the godliness comes down in very specific ways. And you have, based on the pasuk, be yudke Hashem tzur olamim, that with a yud, Hashem created olam haba, and with a hey, Hashem created olam hazeh. Okay? So, let's just start from the second line. We'll go back to the second line in the beginning paragraph now in this radiation. Okay, so hini beziva arizu, with this bit of godliness, which comes now to enliven all of the everything in every single world, in the supernal worlds, in the terrestrial worlds. There's a big difference between up and down. She'olam hazeh nivra behei, etc. That the world, this world is created with the hay, and the v'chulo and the olam haba is created with the yud. And v'kein kol shinai pratim shebechol olam va'olam holafi shinai tzerufi oisies. And so too it is, every individual organism in every individual world is the product of all the combinations of letters. And we don't really need to go into this at great length. Excuse me, now that we have the internet, and you can go check out if you don't remember what this is talking about, because he himself says, go look at Shaar Yechud V'Amunah, chapter 11.
Right.
So where he talks about there how our perception of reality and Hashem's perception of reality jive. Okay? Not how they're different, how they jive.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's what he's talking about over there. Shebechol olam va'olam hu lafi shinai tzeruf ha'oseis. Because every single world, everything, every organism in every single world is a product of the different combinations of letters, as he calls them, which are channels,
yes,
of godliness. There is a physicist who is now trying to, he's like bucking for like the Nobel Prize in physics.
Okay.
He wants to be one of those physicists that are have like name recognition.
Okay.
How many physicists can you name?
Five.
Well, there was
maybe two or maybe three.
Yeah, well, Einstein was
like two of them.
There was like Einstein.
The paraplegic.
But Hawking, yes. And then you have Feynman, you know, Feynman. Is a good one over there. And then you have the different ones that, you know, for me, I'm a geek, and I can name about a half a dozen more. So he wants to be one of those guys.
Okay.
His name is Tegmark. Okay?
Yeah.
And he has come up with this idea that there are four parallel universes.
God, that's weak.
Yeah, okay. And...
Okay.
And the fourth parallel universe is mathematics. Okay, so this is his deal. I'm thinking, man, this guy sat down and he thought that there's an Atsilus. That's pretty decent.
Until he's called the math, that was a good pro theory.
Yeah,
that's pretty decent. You know,
he actually came up with,
you know, so I'm you know, so, okay. So, I thought that was pretty, I haven't finished reading the book yet. I'm still slowly going where he takes it with the, now that we have this this universe which is made out of mathematics.
Okay.
So what he's going to do with it. So, but because we are all the expression of that mathematics. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's okay. Right. So remember the name Tegmark. Anyway, see. The king shina haminim ba'aver hayve ve'asi v'shina kol hakeres v'chalufu hazmanim v'hakol b'shina serufis oisias. And also, when you're talking about time and place, time, just the idea that you have a defined time of past, present, and future, and defined place. We talked about this as being an expression of Malchus. Mm. And that if it's going to be that you're talking about was, is, and will be, the only place, there is only time and place in our level of conscious.
Correct.
This is the only, correct. If you got time and place, you're right here.
You're in the three dimensions in
that's
the story.
It. Correct.
Done.
Okay? Yeah. Angels can't get anything done because they have no time.
Right.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Right, and they're also not made out of anything. So if you ask them what's the matter, they say nothing.
Right. Oh, these that's
are
so bad.
These are rabbinic jokes. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So the.
Bada-bing, bada-bing.
Yes. Yeah. So the. As he says over there, go look over there. And he's going to explain it more. And I'm not going to explain it again because I did it not that long ago, and you guys should remember it. That it's all a product of Malchus, it's all a product of Adonai. And the reason why we can exist as separate entities and maintain the integrity of the godliness which enlivens us is because it's channeled through Malchus. Right. The Ein Melech below Am, there's no king without a people.
Right.
And the whole purpose, or you call it the Dvar Hashem, which is using the word Osius as the Dvar Hashem, in order for there to be a Dvar, a speech, an utterance, there has to be a recipient to hear it, which is outside, and therefore, this power of Adnus, of Malchus, of whatever else you want to call it, creates that entity which is outside of Elokus, but the Godliness is still maintained the same. So we are separate, we perceive ourselves to be separate from Hashem. And the bottom line from all of that, when you get done with 12 chapters of Shar Yichud V'Amunah, what's the bottom line of Shar Yichud V'Amunah? Is that we have to do Torah and Mitzvahs. I mean, that's you know, because we're not separate from Hashem, because since it is that we do not see the Gilui Elokus, the revelations of godliness, therefore the Etzem Elokus, the essence of Hashem, is here.
Yes.
Okay, remember when we talked about that? Yes. Because Gilui and Etzem in Hebrew are opposites one to the other. Revelation is the opposite of essence.
Right.
In Hebrew.
Right.
Essence is for itself. Revelation is for the other.
Right.
So because there's no revelation here, so therefore you have the presence of essence.
Right.
Remember such a thing? Drawing a blank. Okay.
I'm working it out.
Okay. Yes. So that means that what? That angels don't have any type of appreciation for essence, for atzmos.
Right.
That's why they're singing, Aye Mekayim Kevodoy.
Right.
You know, they say, where is Hashem's glory? Because they know there's something there because they got this great gilui.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Tremendous gilui the malachim have.
Right.
Which is because malachim are not limited because they don't have any type of limiting matter. They have form.
Right.
Okay, and there's a discussion, how big is an angel? And the answer is shlish olam. And you can't even agree on what does that mean in the Gemara. What does it mean, shlish olam? Shlish of what? Are you talking about a third? Are you talking about three times? Are you talking about what world are we talking about? Because you can't say that an angel is three times the size or a third of the size of the earth. Because they're not. They don't have any size.
Right.
But they don't have a limit.
Wow. They have limitations, for sure, but their limitations are not physical. The limitations are that they're on the level of appreciation of Elokus that they're on. Okay? And the whole Catholic debate in the Catholic Church about how many angels could dance on a pin is a bunch of baloney. I don't even know why they brought the question up.
Okay? Because they're Catholic.
We're not going to disparage anybody, huh?
Okay.
The Gaiusha cup, you know, what could you do? I mean, you know. So
it's the, it's it, Paul, it's this it's that it
It's in hand with the same question, can God create a rock too big for himself to pick up?
Yeah, which is also a ridiculous question. And also the same thing. To take it one step further. Just like we say every day in davening, in the morning, you're the way you were before the world was created, you're the world since the way since the world was created. That there's only one emes. As far as Hashem is concerned, emes is emes. What Hashem is what Hashem is. The fact that there's a world in existence now doesn't take away from what Hashem is.
Doesn't change anything.
We don't displace God. We don't push God away. We don't take up any space with Hashem. We have no effect on Hashem.
The entire universe doesn't.
Okay, because if we did, then Hashem wouldn't be emes.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay, because then there would be shinoyim and Hashem. Anytime you have a shinoy, that's not emes anymore, because the shinoy means constant. Emes means constant.
Right.
So we have no ability to change God. But even with all that, we still exist, and we're still expected to do.
Yes.
And we're expected to do mitzvahs because the mitzvahs are what are megale atzmos. That's now we just used made an oxymoron over here.
Yeah.
The
exactly.
Mitzvahs are what reveal the essential right. will of Hashem
right.
here.
Right.
We just said that essence isn't revealed.
Right.
Yet, because the will of Hashem, because there's no Giloy over here, the essence is here. And when we do what Hashem wants, which is an essential expression of Hashem, we reveal that essential expression of Hashem in our world. So what does that mean? Does that mean the world explodes when you put on tefillin? No. Okay. Does that mean that people disappear when you put on tefillin? No, it doesn't. What it does mean is that...
I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay. There is going to be a bona fide positive effect on the world.
Amen.
One of the lines that we use for when explaining to people about Shabbos candles is you're not only lighting up your own house, but you're lighting up the whole world, because the light doesn't just stop at your house.
Right.
The expression of saying the bracha and drawing down the elokus with the Shabbos candle brings the God, allows the godliness to spread out and permeate the entire realm of creation.
Right.
Okay. V'hainu mishum shehakol ka'ayin ve'efes mamish legavi mahusav atzmusav k'mayis ois echa midibura shel adam. Because we want to say that Hashem created the whole entire universe with a hay. The hay is the building block of all the other parts of the speech. What do you have to do to make a hay? You exhale.
Exhale, right.
You don't even have to use an articulative speech. You don't even have to move your mouth. So it's the simple letter.
Yeah.
And the simple letter is what's supplying all of the vitality for the entire creation.
Right, for everything else, right.
So that's why it is that it doesn't affect Hashem. Just like, say, exhaling once in the course of your lifetime, how much does it affect you in comparison to your whole entire life? Or like one thought compared to your intellect.
Right.
Okay, the one thought, which is one thought, a thought isn't even anything. Okay, you can kind of sort of now we have an ability to measure thoughts. They'll never be able to read thoughts. We can measure thoughts. But compare that to the ability of all the thoughts that a person could possibly think in the course of their lifetime. Okay? And that's even a bad analogy.
Yeah.
Because there's a point of comparability between
Of course there is.
One thought that you did think
and whatever
and all the possible potential thoughts that you could think. Whereas this world and Hashem, there's no point of comparison between the two. It's even less than that. Because as little as it does, the person is still affected by, physically, physiologically, by the one thought.
Yes.
There had to be something going on with the physical brain, a process, which if we knew how, we could physically chart in the brain itself how this thought came about.
Right.
Whereas you can't do that with the creation. I feel the mashal of the God calls enough for the skellus, the atzmusal, the mashal, Lisha has the oizen, who be emes ein arach alacha, ksiv, kavosha kol maracha machar, belkutu yomorim, chalik beis perik tesang and sham. And again, he refers you back to Shar Yechid Ve'amuna, this time chapter 9, where he talks about how really the world is insignificant and doesn't take up any place. Zehu sha'emrim ha'melech ha'maraimim levada me'oz. This is what we say when we say the king who is exalted alone from then. Pirish kumay shema'az kaidim habriya. What's ma'az? From then. He's exalted and alone from then. What's then? then would imply now, and then you have a now and a then. So then, ma'az is like before Bria. Before the creation. Hayahu levadehu. Yeah, that Hashem, before creation, what was there? It's just Hashem. And if you want to take it a little more, whatever, Hashem Ushmai. Yeah. Okay, what's Hashem Ushmai? Hashem is the Atzim, and Shmai is the Giloi.
Yeah, it was an expression.
Yeah, Hashem is the revelation, Hashem is the essence, and Shmai, his name, is the revelation. Because what's a name for? The name is for expressing to someone else.
Right.
The old Greek joke from first grade. What's yours that people use more than you do? Your name. Right. Okay, so before that, before creation, there was nothing. It was total complete unity. It was one mathematic. And the, to quote Tegmark,
yes.
V'kach atahu mereimam kula, so too now also. None of that changed.
No.
Because such an insignificant amount of godliness, when it's making a creation, we can still say, not it's like kemay echad, it's like he's one with it. It's so insignificant, it's like there's only like, you know, it's like a little atom flew off or something like that. It's like, who cares? You know,
it's awesome,
like, it's nothing. There is no significance whatsoever. And therefore, umisnasi umimais oilam shohu ram v'nisa l'mayla mayla v'chinas zman hanikr b'shem yimais oilam. That Hashem is beyond any type of level of time, which is called the days of the world, as it says, zachar yimais oilam. That zachar yimais oilam, remember the days of the world, it says, is really saying that even now, as the world exists.
Right.
The zachar, the remembrance is that as it's existing now, it's existing like it did before it existed. Does that make sense? That's such a double talk. More, less than that even. Okay, meaning as it exists now, because in a primordial state, the world existed in potential. But when it existed in potential, so it was like it existed in actual. And as it exists in actual, it's like it exists in its primordial state. Because Hashem doesn't have before and afters. Right. We have to say, well, now it's in potential, or even before potential, it's primordial state, now it works up to a potential, now it's in a state of development, now it's here. And we have all these different steps that are constant, that are sequential. With Hashem, there's no sequence.
Right.
Past, present, and future
right.
are
right.
all the same.
Right.
That's the definition of Hashem.
Right.
So that means that if you're looking at the potential, the actual has already been realized.
Right.
If you're looking at the actual, the potential is still is yet to be there, yet to be fulfilled. It's because it's all one thing for Hashem. There's no sense of time. That's referred to in the jargon as Ein HaKayach Chaser Poel, that the potential is not lacking the actual. Potential missing, our potential lacks fulfillment because it's only just the potential. With Hashem, as soon as there's a potential, it's already there. And it's that potential which is providing the chayas for the there, for the actual.
The
E lezayis harachmanis gedeilu mamoid ma'od al hanitzis hashechen beguf hachoshek va'afo mashachi b'chavya. So bottom line, so now going back to the whole point of what this letter is all about. Is that a person has to have Rahmanis on his on the spark of godliness that's within his body. Mm. He says, how can you have Rachmanis on somebody else? Have Rachmanis first on yourself. What am I having Rachmanis on? I've got this spark of godliness, which, since we just talked about this whole page, which hasn't changed at all, and the whole entire creation hasn't changed at all, yet, this spark of godliness, where does it find itself? He likes the word, the jargon of the Zohar, Meshachi Dechavi, the serpent, the snake skin, and that's not the snake skin when it's on the snake. That's the snake skin once the snake crawled out of it. That's what the Zohar is talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Snakes grow out of their skin.
They shed their skin.
They shed their skin. Right. So when it says that the body is a snake skin, it's not the skin on the snake when the snake is walking, is crawling around, is slithering around. It's the snake is the skin of this. It's the skin snake's skin after the snake pulled out of it already.
Right.
That's what our body is. And that's what the godliness is stuck in. So what he says to me, you think snakes, you think biblical, you think the epitome of evil. And here, what are we talking about? This is the leftovers of the epitome of evil.
Right.
That's what our bodies are. And he says that it's a total obfuscation, total, complete and covering over the godliness. So a person could go a whole entire lifetime and never even think that they actually do have a soul. They'll think, they'll give it some other title, whatever it is, but they're not going to contribute to the word soul. Okay, that's how obscured it is. And that, a person has to have Rachmanis. Now a person, I can understand what the Rachmanis is. So if this is what's happening with my body, and it just so happens that in my serpent skin, in my snake skin, I have an extra dollar, and this person in his snake skin is not as good as mine, because his snake skin doesn't have a dollar in it. So I'm going to give him the dollar. I'll have Rachmanis on him.
Ha'olol, and this is all going, he's not just... Ha'olol l'kabel tumol, he's gal b'chol taivas rachman l'slan. And since it is that what our body is comprised of is the very dregs of klipa, the forces of evil, therefore what is its natural tendency to be drawn to?
Everything.
Towards?
Everything wrong.
Yes. The path of least resistance is the wrong one.
Everything wrong. Yes.
And he says, Rachmana l'Islan, God help you.
Amen.
Lula shakarish baruch hu magin lai v'naisin lai oiz v'atzumas lilchaim im haguf v'tai vasal l'nitzachin. Were it not for the fact that Hashem protects him and gives him the strength and the ability to wage war with his body and his desires and to conquer it.
Mm.
Okay,
and
why?
Yeah, concrete.
Because Hashem. But when is that? It's only when the person makes the first initial effort.
Yeah, conscious effort.
The person has to say, "Well, I don't want to be. I don't want to follow the path of least resistance. I want to go the right way."
Autopilot.
So at that point, now Hashem says, "Okay, fine. We'll give you a little push."
Yeah. Autopilot.
We'll set it up such that you don't have what to worry about at this right. point. You know, and at this point now comes in the discussion, we've had this before, about how much free choice do we really have? Because if a person really puts forth effort and says, Hashem, I always want to be doing the right thing, and is engaged in doing the right thing, so Hashem is going to push him in such a way that he's not going to be given the opportunity to do the wrong thing. Like, for example, right now, do we have the choice? He says you have a freedom of choice. Everything's pre-planned, everything's predisposed, except if you're going to do the wrong or the right thing. Do we have the opportunity, do we have the choice right now
right.
to eat a ham sandwich?
No.
Why?
Because
there's no ham sandwich. Hashem did not put us in a position that I have a choice. Do I eat this? Do I not eat it?
Correct.
Why is it? That's divine providence. So Hashem's divine providence is directing my freedom of choice that the only things that I could choose are the things that Hashem wants me to choose. Hmm. And how much, and what does Hashem want me to choose? It's a very limited thing. But mostly I'm just getting pushed from one thing to the next. And, you know, the choices that I make, so... That's what you say generally the most, you look at Frum Jews, for example. Frum Jews don't do things wrong generally. Because most firm Jews, I mean, you can give the list of all the things and all the people that wound up in the newspaper in the last year. We're not talking about them. But the... all right, I'll take it one step better. The Rebbe went on tremendous, instituted tremendous campaigns of taking care of Jewish people incarcerated in prisons and jails.
Right.
Why? They did one thing. They got arrested for doing one thing. Okay, what about everything else? If they'll take care of them when they're in the prison so that they don't, they realize what it was that they did was wrong. And when they get out, then they'll become productive members of society. They won't go back to prison.
Right. Correct.
Okay, because mostly people are good. Because once a person, there's things that a person would never think of doing, and if it's something that a person would never think of doing, Hashem doesn't put it in front of them to start thinking about doing it. Okay, I was amazed. I saw a business directory of Oak Park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Oak Park is 3 miles by 2 miles. Okay, it's 6 square miles. It's a little less than 6 square miles is what it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
There are 67 places to get something to eat in Oak Park.
Yeah.
Okay? 67 places to get
something in
Oak Park. Okay?
In 6 square miles.
Yes. I have never noticed any of them. If you asked me to list all of the non-kosher restaurants in Oak Park... Okay, so I know that there's
only 10 of them.
Nine in Coolidge. I know that I think there used to be, I don't know if it's, I can't even tell you, it used to be a Popeye's Chicken, I think now it's a Tim Hortons. I can't even remember what it is.
Okay.
Okay, and then on 10 and a half,
and McDonald's
Greenfield, there's a McDonald's next to Chesed Shalem. The only one I know that reason is because when the funerals are overpacked, I park in the McDonald's parking lot. Okay. That's the only reason why I know about that one.
Okay.
And on 10 and a half in Greenfield, there used to be an Arby's, which I think is something else now. I don't know, Wendy's or this or something. I don't know if you know.
There's some restaurant on the corner of Greenfield and Lincoln, too. Right there at the corner.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of these. And then you have the big Arab one that burned down over here on 9 Mile, which now moved over to 10 Mile, Sahadi restaurant. That's it. Those are all the restaurants I can think on the top of my head. There's 60 something restaurants in Oak Park. I never noticed them. Why?
Not interested.
Because it's not Hashem's not putting that in front of me to notice.
Not interested. Right. Not interested.
Okay. I never really noticed the church on Coolidge until it burnt down. Oh, look at that. There's a building. Yeah, you know, so it's just, these are things that Hashem's just not sticking in my face.
Yeah.
Now, the Carmel brownies at Zeman's, I see those every time I walk in there.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
Okay, that's something now I got to think about. You know, right?
Oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's got their thing, okay?
Yeah.
That's what we say, that Hashem is the master of our strength, the protector of our salvation. Okay? Because Hashem is guiding us through everywhere that Hashem thinks that we should go. And we want to do the right thing. We have Rahman. We do. Everybody has a certain amount of Rahmanis on the godliness which is inside of them. We're for the most part, even it says even non-religious Jews are filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Okay, so for the most part, we're all in this groove. We're all going through these channels.
Yeah.
And it's all being directed. Hamechin mitzadei gaver. Hashem is directing the footsteps of man.
Yeah.
You should know. There's two types of love. And the first type of love comes through sitting and meditating on the greatness of Hashem and all the things that we talked about in previous, especially in chapter 10 of Igeres HaTshuva.
Right.
Where he talks over there that Tshuva Ilah is Ava Rabba.
Mm.
Okay, this feeling of wanting to be, stuck on God, passionately involved with Hashem. V'achreinis heina bois achirkach milamayla v'vachinis matana. Once a person has achieved a passionate love affair, guess what? So Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to give him another. Now we're hitting in the rocket boosters. I'm going to really send him flying. As it says, the service of a present I will give your priests. Shehu midas ava v'kein hu gam kein b'yira. That this is the present that Hashem gives is love, and so too it is also with fear. Okay, that this love is a love of Hashem. If we're talking already about ava rabba, feeling that a person doesn't want to be any way separated from godliness. So this next level of love is kloisa ava. It's a love where the person is basically just at the point of expiring. Okay? Let me know when you get there and I'll call you Rebbe. Okay? Because in order to get there, you have to get to these other spots first.
Sure you do.
Because he doesn't even talk about ava zolim at the lower level of love at this point here. And he says, really, if you put it down to it, there's no way comparable. The love that a person can develop through their intellect compared to what Hashem could give them. Hashem could give him so much more than is beyond his intellect. That's why I'm having so much trouble describing it, because I care. It's not something that's put into my... If I could describe it, then I could sit and think about it and get it that way.
Right.
I can't. This is a love which is coming from the top down.
Right.
Hashem is doing this.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yep. Lachin hein hein nikris b'shem emes. That's why this is called emes.
Yeah.
Because this is where what got us all started. If you plant tzedakah, you reap emes. Because the seal of Hashem is truth. Shehu emes ha'amiti. Hashem is the absolute truth. V'kol emes shu nivraim kalachashiv kamei. And any truth that we can formulate, that's nothing. Ach eza hadera shi yizaka ha'adam emes Hashem. But how are you going to get to emes Hashem? The Alter Rebbe used to say, I forget about Tzilus and forget about Olam Haba and forget about all that stuff. I want you. He says, how are you going to get you? You can't just reach out and grab God. Okay? First, it's a whole process. Hinehu al yedei she'er rachamim rabim lifnei Hashem. First is that he has to show compassion. And when he shows compassion, that'll cause Hashem to show compassion. That because he is showing compassion, and it's like, this is the best level of compassion I could do. But remember, even though what I can do compared to Hashem is nothing, but if I'm doing 100%,
it's the doing.
The reward,
it's the doing.
Is 100%.
It's the doing.
So I put forth all the effort, and Hashem puts forth all the reward.
Doing.
Not that we're doing it for a reward, by the way.
No.
Because truth is truth to the highest of levels, to the lowest levels. And if I'm acting truthfully on my level, which he talks about that in chapter 13, way back when, so Hashem will act truthfully on his level.
If you're acting truthfully, there you go.
And it'll come down, the truth will come down into this dark world. I will return in the darkness, and Hashem will illuminate for me. Because Hashem's kindness dominates over him. I'm going to do it. If you can't fool God.
Yeah.
You can't play games. You can't go through the motions. It has to be be'emes. Gamshu be'emes shalei eich yachol al yedei emes shalei le'er rachamim al yonim be'emes Hashem. So yes, now. So if you're putting through your emes compared to Hashem's emes is not emes. So how is it that if you're putting forth whatever you're putting forth, you get emes? It's not Hashem's. You're not on the level of Hashem's emes. So why should you get Hashem's emes? Compared to Hashem's emes, your emes is nothing. So therefore, what should you get? Nothing. But we get the whole deal. So he says that what do you got to do? Give tzedakah. There's the hook now. Because tzedakah is the embodiment of Hashem's rachmanis. The story with Rabbi Akiva and I don't remember the name of the general or matriarch, the governor, whatever he was. If Hashem loves poor people so much, why doesn't he take care of them? And Rabbi Akiva's response, he does through us.
Through us, right.
Okay, so if you're going to show that emes through the tzedakah, then you get it.
Yeah.
Alman delesle megarme, that you give to somebody who doesn't have anything of his own. Lahachi yisroach shefalim, to enliven the spirit of the downtrodden. Uber isarusa de la tata isarusa de la ela. And when you get excited, Hashem gets excited. Shema'era yeshenim, Hashem arouses the sleep. Umekis ner dumim, and wakes up those who are dremeling. Is that an English word? No.
Not a word.
Dremel is slumber. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
V'heim v'chinas rachamim ravim v'chosodim al yonim halemim l'tzeis ma'ahelim al giloi ha'ora rabba l'or b'or ha'chayim emes Hashem l'olam hazeh. Okay, and it basically is that you're aroused, Hashem gets aroused, the chayis comes down here into this world. This is why it says you plant tzedakah and you'll reap whatever. And truth will grow. Emes ha'elyon, emes Hashem. And what truth? There's only really one, at that point, there's only one level of truth. If you're giving tzedakah as an expression of rachmanis, you've tapped into emes. And emes is the same from top to bottom. You just, okay, but it's only a buck. But that's numbers are insignificant. All numbers are insignificant. You've tapped into the emes, and therefore, since you're in that pipeline, so you can draw down the absolute highest levels of elokus, and it only costs a dollar, folks. The prophet Zachar b'chesed shel emes she'osin im eretz hakodesh, and specifically even more so, since where was the Alter Rebbe's projects? They were in Israel. That's who he was collecting money for.
Yeah, yeah.
If you give, specifically, you give money to Israel, that the eyes of God are upon her from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
Right.
It says that truth from the land. What? The land? The land of Israel will sprout.
Sure.
That by planting the tzedakah and also the kindness and rachmanis will gather together and collect within it. And that all this kindness and this great compassion will be gathered, and then you'll be harvesting, and that you'll be able to tie into the absolute supreme levels of rachmanis, which are hidden and concealed, as it says, that which you have hidden, you establish it, and you set it firmly, and as it says, tzedakah shall be established.
Shkoyach.
To be continued.
Yes, indeed.